This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we begin hour number three. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Our closer extraordinaire, Jensen Lewis, getting ready to get on the Big Bird to Omaha with the rest of our crew here at VSiN in Cleveland, Ohio today. We're going to have JVT join us here. Jensen here in about 30 minutes, catch up on everything in the NBA that you need to know. So we'll have that conversation with JVT. But also right now, it's time to be in hour three with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It was a good day to be a rat. Brad Marchand gets it done early in this one, scores in the first minute. Really, Florida never looked back as they get a 6-1 win over Edmonton to take that 2-1 lead. Jensen, the story of the game obviously was the penalties that Edmonton took, 21 penalties. I mean, you just don't see that. It did feel kind of Paul Newman slapshot-esque. We got fights. We've got players in the penalty box spraying water. We had some head cases out there last night on the ice. I guess, Jensen, very quickly, do we still look at Edmonton and say, what was that? Can you throw that one out if you had just had a terrible game plan and or strategy, none of it worked, and somehow flip the script back to what we saw closer to games one and two before game four on Thursday?
Yeah, Stuart Skinner has to do his usual game four and beyond trend here and become a Dominic Kashuk. It really is. Not only that, but also the easy answer, stay out of the damn penalty
box. That's it.
If you're the Oilers. So I don't know. I feel that this is game seven in game four for Edmonton, right? If there is any semblance of them getting back in the series, you have to treat this game four as an elimination game because you'd be so nervy going back home trying to, not have the cup hoisted in your own barn. Ooh. So I think that's motivation enough for me if I'm Edmonton.
So again, if you can even this thing up, you're going to have home ice, two of the last three, potentially, if you can get there and even this thing up at 2 games apiece. But that feels like a big if, at least in the odds market, that's for sure. All right, let's get to it here because I do have some questions that I want to ask you today, and that will certainly be in the NFL because it does look like right now the Indianapolis Colts, how about this? They announced that their ownership reorganization in the passing, very tragic passing of Jim Irsay recently, you have to move on as an organization. Their eldest daughter, Carly Irsay Gordon, is going to assume the role of owner and CEO. The daughter is going to be the owner and executive VP. That's Casey Foyt. With the youngest daughter, Kaylee Jackson, she's going to be the owner and chief brand officer. It's the third generation of Irsays that are going to own and run this club from here on out. So that is, Jensen, something we really haven't seen before. How do you organizationally move on from such a big looming shadow of Jim Irsay and his passing? We know they're going to play with the patches on the jerseys this year. We talked about how emotional that game one will be against the Dolphins there in Indianapolis. I hope it all works smoothly for the family, but this is kind of like the movie or the HBO show Succession, where you pass it down now and life does go on. What do you make of this kind of succession plan here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, and that's kind of a great comp just from the family tree aspect of it, right? Yeah, we're staying in the family. But as we know, and for anyone that's watched that series, boy, did Dad do things a whole lot differently and have a way different personality than the kids. And ultimately, infighting with them. I think the business of it is the real fascinating part, right? Because there are so many different things to be up on from an NFL franchise standpoint, not only just in the day-to-day, but also how do you operate communication-wise? Mm. Like, you and I have been in this business long enough to know that if you communicate, things are much smoother. And I think that's, kind of the chain of command here aspect, like who answers to who, how do ultimate majority decisions get made? When you're one owner, this, Jarrah says, hey, we're going to do it this way. And that's how it's going to be. And all right, this is how we do it. May not like it, but he's the man.
That's
and
right.
You know where the buck stops. And that, I think, is the biggest question to answer first. Who eventually does the buck stop with? And if this is, kind of an ownership by conglomerate here. Anxious to see how they work that out.
Logan Roy, an amazing character on that show. What a fantastic character. But you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how the – because you're right. Jim Irsay, he called the shots. That he was the face of the Colts here. And so now you pass it down to the family. Let's see what it looks like this year. But again, hoping that it's going to be a smooth transition in a very tough situation there. What about the transition in the Steel City? You're moving on now. They keep cleaning out that quarterback room each and every year, right? You kind of bring back Mason Rudolph into the fold here. But really the big move is Aaron Rodgers is now the quarterback again in Pittsburgh. And Jensen, very quickly, if you make a move to Rodgers, and it's a one-year deal, right, and you're now at the age of 40 and beyond in the NFL, there are examples where it's worked. Tom Brady, famously, goes down to Tampa Bay. They win the Super Bowl year one. Matty Stafford, that big trade, goes to L.A., wins the Super Bowl year one. Aging quarterbacks, new teams, it has worked. So that must be what Mike Tomlin, what the front office, what the ownership group is believing they are getting in this version of Aaron Rodgers. I pose that question to Jeff Schwartz about the mentality of bringing in Rodgers, and if they think that they're very close to winning. I want you to listen to Jeff's response on the GM Shuffle.
I had a high school football coach that told the team, not just me, but it's the best advice I've ever gotten. He said, don't lie to yourself, right? Mm. And it was more about just like kids in high school thinking they're better than they are, or just, you know, not, you know, they're not putting the work in necessarily. You know, it's about work, right? You know, if you put the work in to be a good high school football player, but I think it applies to a lot of things in life. I think the teams are kind of lying to themselves. I don't think they're close to winning a Super Bowl. I don't know what evidence they've got. Now, I get the defense has been good for so many years, but they still lose games every year they should win. And again, in their own division. I know they play the division tough. I get that. I know Steelers fans will be angry at me and yell at me. They're always showing some division. But again, you're not the best quarterback in the division. You're not. So if you're not winning your division, you're coming for the wild card round. The last team to do that was Tom Brady, which is an outlier for everything. Like the idea that Rodgers this year and next year is going to be, you know, again, like ascending player where he's at right now. When it happens, typically, as an older player, it happens fast. You get bad fast, you know? And how often do you put that off? Tom Brady's the outlier for all of this. And so if they think they're getting Tom Brady and that success in Tampa Bay, I don't think it's going to happen.
Really enjoy those conversations. Shameless plug, wherever you get your podcast, check out the GM Shuffle there with Jeff Schwartz and myself. And other news now, paired with this, hot off the press, TJ Watt right now is looking for a new contract in Pittsburgh. So he's not attending their mandatory mini camps either. So, like, Rodgers signed so he could be at these things, and then Watt's not going to be there. Like, 8.5 is the win total. Mike Tomlin, we get it. He's never had a losing record. Who doesn't love Mike Tomlin? 757 guy, by the way, went to William & Mary. So I find myself rooting for Coach Tomlin. But, Jensen, are they, as Jeff says, are they fooling themselves? Are they lying to themselves if they think Rodgers is going to be Tom Brady 2.0?
So let me unpack the TJ Watt. And I wanted to have the figures in front of me. All right. So we know Myles Garrett, it's not about the team. It's about the money. We got that in spades. 4 years, $160 million. So TJ Watt in the final year here of a 4-year, $112 million deal. If you were the Pittsburgh front office, what does that number have to look like if you're bringing TJ Watt back? And just for perspective here, Dave, Nick Bosa, his year will end, or his contract will end, his 5-year deal, $170 million, that will end in 2028. So to circumvent either Garrett or Bosa, you're going to have...
All right, we'll get back to our connection here with Jensen in just a second. But what Jensen's getting at is this is not the Steeler way. This is not what they normally do. So you hold out, right, to get that big money that Myles Garrett, as Jensen was alluding to in Cleveland, just got the big money deal that Nick Bosa got in San Francisco. Are you going to be able to force management to pay you what you probably rightfully expect and maybe even deserve if you're Watt? We understand that. Most dynamic defensive player that they have. Might be their most dynamic player, period, that they have on either side of the ball. You do get Rodgers now in this kind of team-friendly deal for a year. So does that then free up the money to give that to a guy like TJ Watt? Potentially, that could happen. Look, I'm not running to the window to fade this team because Mike Tomlin, I have never done that. I don't know that this would be the year. It is juiced to the under now at $1.30 here. Their win total at 8.5. But Jensen, that is predicated on Watt being out there. I don't know how long this will go, if this is like call your bluff type scenario, but you're not going anywhere. Forget about Rodgers. If you don't get Watt on the other side, this ain't happening.
Yeah, and that's why I said, just from a figure standpoint, so your top four edge rushers by contractual value, it's a minimum of $141 million. So, you know, he's at TJ Watt. This last deal was $112 million. And that's why I wondered, if you're Pittsburgh's front office, what does that total number have to look like? And are you also, TJ Watt, one of those people that wants to reset the AAV? So you'd have to be at least 40, you know, 40 and a penny, you know, over Myles Garrett. Anxious to see what that figure ends up being.
You know, even week one in Jersey, what exit against the Jets is starting to feel trappy, right? As road favorites there going up against Justin Fields. But if they don't get off on the good foot here, and you got, we'll figure out what happens with Watt. I'm sure this will be corrected and taken care of in some way, shape, or form. But if it doesn't, and then you got Rodgers coming in there, hey, I'm coming in here to be the big teammate. And then the other guy that you're counting on to be your ride or die isn't there. That's a weird start to things in the Steel City. Just throwing that out there. You want to bet smarter and you want to bet football? Who doesn't? VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use the promo code book title of this show. And when you do so, you're going to get $41 off your annual subscription. What else does that get you? How about Josh Applebaum? He's got a book out, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. You get a free pre-order of that, emailed daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, access to the VSiN Watch app, and that NFL betting guide coming out in July. No better time than the present.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Tuesday edition. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to get to JVT in the next segment, see what he thinks we might see Thursday night. Boy, Thursday is going to be one heck of a day, isn't it? Because we're going to have, Wednesday night. Thursday is going to be game four of the Stanley Cup Finals. Game three of the NBA is tomorrow night. And we get Oakmont beginning on Thursday. So a whole lot to go on. And then, of course, the College World Series, where you'll be in Omaha. But with that, let's talk some Major League Baseball. Before then, and it's our edition of Torpedo Bat Tuesday. How about those Metropolitans, a day off? That's the only thing that could slow them down right now after sweeping away the Rockies.
Yeah, they have looked great, right? And now the offense really starting to round into form, not only with Soto and Lindor, but Pete Alonso having an MVP type year. How about your boy Jeff McNeil finally showing that he can still hit? So some good numbers here in this Mets and Nationals series opener tonight. Jeff McNeil, great career. Now, all those are singles, by the way.
Oh.
7 for 10. Two walks. Same thing with Starling Marte here against Mackenzie Gore, 4 for 8. So great numbers. James Wood against Griffin Canning, a little more limited sample, but still a couple of extra base hits to his name. And so here's how we would lean it today. Jeff McNeil and Starling Marte to record a hit, put that in a parlay. And then let's go James Wood, 2 or more total bases. You can get that right now at DraftKings at +$1.65. So good series opener tonight. It'll be Griffin Canning, Mackenzie Gore, but some offensive ways to exploit both those starting pitchers tonight.
Metropolitan's not big favorites in this one. $1.57, that's obviously respecting the marketplace for Mackenzie Gore, the comeback there in the Nats, +$1.29. Should I be worried about regression from Griffin? Because he's looked pretty darn good so far. And again, we keep talking about that whatever the elixir is for the Mets starting pitching, it's worked at least to date here into June.
I think you can look at a couple of different things. First of all, the way that the overall flow has been a lot better. But I think Ronnie Mauricio coming up for the Mets, I'm anxious to see how playing time kind of works for the Mets lineup altogether. But the old adage, Dave, if you're rolling, managers just pencils your name in. So until McNeil kind of shows that he's got, and the lineup versatility helps him too. So he can play some outfield if you need, obviously, you know, second baseman. So anxious to see how that works out.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Mauricio. This is a guy, a lot of people, you know, like us in the Mets community have been waiting to see what the kid's got. And now obviously Vientos out and You know, Beatty's getting another look, so you've got your opportunities here to make some hay. What do you have here when you term it deep but not playable?
Deep and not playable. Over some fencing they put up in the outfield. The great Kenny Mayne in his SportsCenter calls used to say that. Here are a couple of guys we want to exploit. And speaking of riding the highs, has there been a hotter guy than Cal Raleigh?
No.
The way that he has swung the bat this year? 26 bombs. He's got a good matchup tonight against Brandon Pfaadt against the D-backs. Shout out Josh Naylor, walk-off grand slam for the D-backs to win yesterday. Shohei Ohtani goes without saying, always a threat. Now, a little different spot here in Petco, but still against Dylan Cease. I like the matchup. And then also, how about Zach Neto? Maybe a guy that not a lot of people have on their radar from a national perspective, but really solid numbers against J.P. Sears of the Athletics. They'll be in Anaheim tonight. Here's how we'd like to lean it, Dave. Two or more total bases for Shohei, minus $1.15. Two or more hits, runs, RBI for Cal Raleigh. That's minus $1.40. You have to lay a little bit here with Zach Neto, but I think it's worth it. On the two hits, runs, RBI, it's minus $1.75. And then you and I hit the lotto ticket last week. Let's run it back this week. And we're just going to go deep and not playable. Woo! Shohei and Cal Raleigh, the big dumpa, to hit a homer. Right now, that parlay is about 11-1 on DraftKings. But if you go over to FanDuel, Dave, they do have that 50% profit boost for Dinger Tuesday. That gets you all the way up to plus 1686. So shop around, use those boosts accordingly. So we'll lock that in on FanDuel here today.
All right, don't look now. All right, you can look. Cal Raleigh is now the second choice to be MVP at 20-1. I mean, look, you got to lay 6,000 here if you want to play Aaron Judge. Look, I would never do that, obviously, because you're going to blow up your bankroll. God forbid Judge got hurt. But let me ask you. Because we always say it's got to be an injury. Judge misses time. That's the only way, a pathway here. Could the big dumpa, if he keeps mashing like this, and let's say Seattle gets back into first at some point, could he catch him without an injury? Is there any scenario that he could actually make this intriguing in the odds market?
No, but I wish he could. I mean, if Cal Raleigh, and this is already mind-boggling for a catcher to have 25 home runs,
right,
period, let alone he's got 26. And, Dave, we have 4 weeks until the All-Star break. So
he's crushing.
If he hits 50,
it's
probably one of the greatest single seasons for offensively for a catcher, period. But you have – I would love to know, and we said it last year for the award, I would love to know the voter breakdown once – you know, guys have it and release their ballots and why they voted the way that they did. Because here we are again in this subjective market. If you take Aaron Judge away from the Yankees versus taking Cal Raleigh away from the Mariners, who's more valuable? Just saying.
And all we're asking, if you're a voter out there and you happen to be listening, thank you for listening, first and foremost. But secondly, just let them play out all 162. Let's not cast the ballots in June, right? Let's realize what's happening, but realize in totality. So let's see if it can actually be an open race, but I appreciate your honesty. Probably not. It would probably take an injury to Aaron Judge. All right, look, sports gambling, if you're betting out there, you know it. There's going to be low lows. There's going to be some high highs. What do you have today on a Tuesday?
Okay, we're going to ride the highs. It's been a theme today. And do maybe some guys off the beaten path, maybe some of the names that are not readily available or readily recognizable in some cases. One that will be George Springer, who has had a resurgence this year overall, been a great season. Good numbers against Miles Michaelis, who gets a start for the Cardinals today, 5-for-9 with a dinger. Adam Frazier, we love making money off bad teams. Let's make money off a guy who has just been downright awful this year in Sandy Alcantara.
What's happening?
These numbers, 7-for-15, a double, a pair of bombs for Adam Frazier. All right, we'll take a look there. And then the Ohio Cup for
the first time
in what feels like forever will reside in Cincinnati. I think it's the first time in maybe 10 or 15 years that the Ohio Cup we'll go to the Queen City. But Will Benson has torched his old organization, the Cleveland Guardians. He's also torched Slade Ciccone. 4-for-8, double, couple of bombs. Let's play it this way. Springer and Benson to record a hit. That's plus $1.26 at DraftKings right now. And Adam Frazier, two or more total bases, plus $1.60. Some juicy numbers right now here on a Torpedo Bat Tuesday.
I'm so chicken. You know what I didn't play that I wanted to play? You could have had the Reds to win the division. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but you could have had them before this hot streak that they've now find themselves on at 25-1 to win the division. Oh, they've already been shortened to 16-1. So they've already almost come down 10 bucks. $9 already here, Jensen. Let me just ask you, should I – one game over 500. It is baby steps. We get it. And Hunter Green's not even available right now as your clear ace in this rotation. Can I get excited about Reds baseball again, or is it a little bit too soon? Speaking of riding the hops.
No, you can. I don't know if the division is what to get excited about, but, hey, the Cubs still have questions to answer in their rotation, so I'm not mad at you. I'd look probably more to the make the playoffs price. That's probably where you got to go.
Just saying, all of a sudden, Reds are turning a corner here. If we can get healthy, you get Hunter back in there, maybe you might get excited. I'll try to get excited about it. If you're into futures wagering, which I am for sure, fantasy or just the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. It's basically the future of how we play. So think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You're going to choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set your terms, you bet your own, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew, and it's addictively fun. So here's the hookup. Email support at xcuta.com. Mention VSiN. They're going to send you a special 3-month player promo code to get you started. Again, that's xcuta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Future wagering just got a serious upgrade. Jensen, how about that? You and the boys can get out there, start your own fantasy teams. By the way, I've done like we used to call it rotisserie baseball way back in the day, and now it's just fantasy baseball as we know. I kind of like that, but you know what you do? You want to beat your friends so badly. Like, I don't want to beat strangers as much as I want to beat my friends. Is that normal? Is that the way we just want to have those bragging rights over our boys?
We have an MLB Network Radio League with former players and former GMs, and we just want to beat the former GMs because that's the best bragging rights. Like, oh, we can run a team better than you guys.
We could do your job, right? It's not that hard. Yeah. I always think that in football parlance too, of like, what does Jerry Jones do? Could I do what Jerry does? Well, I need the money that Jerry has, that's for sure, to get that started. All right, when we come back, JVT is going to join the program here, talk all things as we get ready for game number 3 in Indiana tomorrow night as the venue shifts from OKC to the great state of Indiana. That is next here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books here on this Tuesday edition. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Jensen, I know you've got your bags packed, all ready to go to Omaha.
Almost.
Almost. You've had a lot of you. You got to pack them, unpack them, get them back out there. Yeah. I wonder if JVT is an early packer, if he waits to the last second. He's going to be going out there to Omaha as well. Joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow, of course, at MeJVT. Does a great job here. Money Moves with Stormy Weekdays on the network. Jonathan, have you already packed up for Omaha? Do you have a game plan for the College World Series?
No, I mean, the trip's not, I don't have to leave until tomorrow, so I figure tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. is probably when I'll start packing. That's generally what I do. Look, I mean, we're only gone for 3 nights, so I don't really have to pack too much. I'm a minimalist, Dave, so I don't really bring a whole ton. I think I'm mostly like other people where, for some reason, I overpack underwear. I don't know why. I don't know why every time I take a trip, I pack like I'm going to soil myself regularly or something, but I'm a late packer.
No, I think that's a good strategy there. You definitely want to make sure you have plenty. I'm kind of with you on that for whatever reason. Maybe that's just a guy thing. I don't know. Before we get to the NBA here, because Jensen and I have been talking a lot about what's going on in the NFL. We got the NFL betting guide that's coming out July 1st. You are going to be doing some big time work on it with the AFC East in specifics. What are you noting here? Before, Don, I don't want to give away the store for free here, but what are you seeing here as you begin those write-ups?
So I am very pro Patriots, like many. It's funny. So I did Ready Set Bet with Matt Brown many, many weeks ago, but probably months ago now. And it was right when they came out with NFL win totals for the first time. And when I talked about that, I thought, hey, man, we're going to get something here in terms of a cheap number. It wasn't the case. So I've been looking elsewhere. The Dolphins really stick out to me. I think that this is a team that you can feel comfortable playing unders on their win totals. The cornerback room is an absolute mess. I think their defense is going to be a problem. Of course, remember, Jalen Ramsey is probably on the way out.
Yep.
I think that this team is going to be, at the end of the year, somewhat poor. And when things go bad, here's the other thing, and Anna Burke's going to write about this in the guide as well. It's a great article. It's a great piece of knowledge. When you talk about win totals in the NFL, guys, generally it behooves you to play some of these alternate win totals, because when a team fails to or exceeds expectations, they generally do it by a pretty decent mark. So in other words, instead of betting under 8.5 for the Miami Dolphins, I think under 6.5 at a +170 price or so is worth looking at for Miami, especially if Tua misses time. I think this team's going to be very poor. I think their roster is in the bottom 10 of the NFL at this point right now, when you just look at the overall quality of it. And I think that's going to be pretty bad news for them in a division that has Buffalo, has an improving New England team, and I think a Jets team that is on par with them as well. So alternate under 6.5 +170 for the Miami Dolphins, one of the plays that stuck out. And I wouldn't mind throwing a little bit on a long shot for them to have the fewest wins in the NFL either. We always know that one of those teams flames out and heads to the bottom or top, I guess, of the NFL draft that you don't expect. I have a feeling Miami could be that team for us this year.
Yeah, JVT, and just to add a nugget on that, Dave and I talked a lot, putting our survivor hats on week one, all the emotion for the Colts. Oof. With the passing of Jim Irsay, just kind of one of those scheduling spots. And if Miami looks as, decrepit as you've talked about, that might be an area to look. Speaking of Indianapolis, we get to back to the NBA Finals in Indiana. You're looking at a future here with Pascal Siakam to lead the series in rebounds. And then I'm just going to get your thoughts. Have the Thunder kind of found the answer key to limiting Halliburton with what they did in game two, or do you think there'll be adjustments in game three?
So to answer the first question, yes, Siakam +150 to lead the series in rebounds, something I added to the portfolio. I think it's very much worth it. He's actually tied for the lead right now in terms of total rebounds for the series with Isaiah Hartenstein, but he's got a big edge over Hartenstein in terms of minutes. They've been using Pascal Siakam down low a little bit more on offense. They're trying to get him down there, seal off smaller defenders. That has opened the door up for a lot of offensive rebounding opportunities, guys. He already has 8 or 9 offensive rebounds through two games heading into this game here, game three, that we will see tomorrow out in Omaha. And so I would assume that this is going to be one where he's going to have a pretty solid lead. And look at the odds on favorite to lead before the series began. It was Chet Holmgren at -125. Look, when he's out there, he's defending Miles Turner. He's a little bit farther away from the basket. Turner's a perimeter-oriented big. I think that this really sets up nicely at +150 for Siakam to lead the series in rebounds, especially with the way that he's playing. And his biggest competition is a bench player right now that's averaging just about like 17, 18 minutes per game, and I think that's going to be the course of the series. So give me Siakam +150 to lead the series in total rebounds. As far as what you're talking about, Jensen, with the adjustments, I think so. I likened this. I don't know if you guys remember about like 2 years ago, when the Nuggets and the Lakers were playing, and it was game one. And if you remember, the Lakers put Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic, and like they made a fake comeback in game one. And everybody was like, ooh, I know the Nuggets won game one, but they better watch out, because I think the Lakers discovered something. They would go on to sweep the Los Angeles Lakers. So I bring that up because I think that a lot of people might look at the fourth quarter and go like, oh, hey, like Halliburton off ball more, and he woke up a little bit. This might be something that the Thunder have to account for. I also think that a lot of that had to do with a game and in human nature that is out of the bag already, and you're just kind of letting up a little bit. They also only outscored Oklahoma City by 3 points in that fourth quarter. I think Jensen using him a little bit more off ball to get him in space, to for the ball to find him when he's already out in space to be able to operate, will help him a little bit. But this is now two games where he's been relatively quiet. We shouldn't just focus on game two, where he had 5 points going into the fourth quarter. He had a quiet game one for the most part, outside of the game-winning shot that we all remember. I think that he's kind of in hell. Look, he's got Lu Dort. He's got Alex Caruso that he has to deal with. And then if he manages to get a switch, here's Cason Wallace, right? Like, here's Jalen Williams. Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If Shai's the weakest defender that you can go at any given time, you're in a really tough spot if you're Tyrese Halliburton. I just think that's what he's going to be going through. He's also never really been a scorer, as we know. He only averaged 18.5 points per game in the regular season. So I don't know if there's some big adjustment to get him unlocked, and I don't know if there's some big adjustment to get their offense unlocked. much of it is through transition, and the Thunder are a very good transition defensive team. Their two games are averaging less than 1.1 point per possession, and I think that maintains itself throughout this series.
David, see, if you're looking at it now, like, who else then could pick up the slack if Halliburton just, you know, he's not going to be able to do it? And I go back to previous series where Nesmith just went nuts, right? And they just kind of left him alone. I'm watching Alex Caruso get 20. It's because they're leaving him alone. He's like, great, I'll shoot it. Is that the strategy here? Is we just take away Halliburton and keep him in hell, as you mentioned, and if other guys beat us, who are the other guys? Does it have to be the NNM boys with Nembhard and Nesmith?
No, I mean, I think it's Siakam, Dave. And that's why, so I bet him before the series started to average over 19.5 points per game. We're trending under that mark right now, so we'll see if he can have a big games back in Indy. But I think it is Siakam. If you look at the way that Oklahoma City has started to play here, when they started the series, right, they went to the lone big because they knew playing both Hartenstein and Holmgren, it's going to put you in a tough spot when one of those two guys have to cover Siakam out in space. So the Thunder elected to go a little bit smaller. You saw in the first game, Siakam had 19 points, as we just discussed in terms of the rebounds. The other thing they've been doing is they've been running different things to get him sealed off on smaller defenders. He's eaten a little bit inside too. He's gotten some of those buckets on smaller guys. I think that the way this matchup sets up, until you force the Thunder and Dagnall to pull the lever of the double big lineup, which I don't think they're going to force them to do, I think it's Siakam that has a relatively solid series from a scoring standpoint. Now, if that leads to wins is one thing. I'm not entirely sure, but I do think that this sets up nicely for Siakam going forward and throughout the series to at least pick up some of the slack. But you're right. Like, look, it would help if Andrew Nembhard was like the guy that, right, was awesome in game one and absolutely nailed a three, like a dagger three in the face of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he wasn't particularly good in game two. Maybe back at home, some of these other guys step up. At the top of the list for me, though, it would be Pascal Siakam.
All right, JVT, last one from me, and we'll get on the bird out to Middle America tomorrow. We'll be right in the backyard also of a pretty intriguing series getting underway today. That's Yankees-Royals. Pretty solid pitching matchup here. Max Fried, Noah Cameron. And Noah Cameron, for people don't know, what a hell of a start to his big league career. He has more than met the moment. He'll face his toughest task against a Yankee offense that has been hitting pretty well. You like an under in this game, particularly in the first three.
So I'm hoping and I'm praying. So this is going to be an interesting, by the way, this is why I do like that these games are spaced out in these finals, because then you get to appreciate a pitching matchup like this. This is going to be a ton of fun here with Fried and Cameron on the hill against one another. So I'm going to trust the young guy to at least hold his own through the first couple of times through the lineup, Jensen. I really like these first threes because it gets you those first couple of times against these guys. They haven't really seen Cameron outside of some film, and I think it's going to be an interesting matchup for him. I know the Yankees have mashed left-handed pitching, and so I think that's going to be something that gives me a little bit of pause, but I liked what I've seen from Cameron up to this point. 0.85 ERA, 3.64 fielding independent. I think that he's going to be able to hold his own for a little bit here the first couple of times through the order. So first three under 1.5 at plus 154. The other side of the equation is I trust that Max Fried's going to be able to hold down this Royals lineup. I have some blind faith almost in that. But I think that I'm going to trust Cameron to do the same the first three times. And again, go the first three innings under 1.5 at plus 154.
David T, can we count you in now as a bona fide golf guy? Is that legit, the reports in Vegas? You're playing golf out there with Matty Humans and the boys?
Not with Matt Humans. Well, the first time Matt Humans and I ever played golf, Dave, my first shot was clean and pure right off the tee. Fell to within 4 or 5 feet of the pin. And Matt was trying to get me because he needed an extra. One of the guys dropped out for a Superbook golf tournament. And so he thought I could play. The next tee shot, I shanked it off a light pole, and it came back and almost hit Matt Humans in the face. I've never seen Matt scream before and after that moment. But I almost killed Matt Humans, and my golf game has gotten a lot better since.
You're a golf guy, JVC. One of us. There you go. Check him out. Safe travels. Can't wait to see you guys out there in Omaha, and certainly you and Stormy there on Money Moves. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT. Our best bets coming straight ahead here as we wrap up these other books.
Right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. We always appreciate everybody watching, listening. If you're listening on Sirius Channel XM Radio 158, we appreciate that. Of course, you're watching on VSiN.com. And we got a couple texts about our conversation about, can you believe it, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Mung,
go figure.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that amazing? So Mung says to us, he says to me and you, I think Tomlin and the Steelers are going this unprecedented route for one last go at it before the Tomlin era ends. Steelers and Tomlin mutually part ways within 2 years. Does this give you a last dance vibe for Tomlin with Rodgers to say maybe both of us are not going to be here that much longer? And that's, I think, what Mung is getting at here. Jason Stark says, thanks for playing the clip by Jeff Schwartz talking about maybe the Steelers fooling themselves. You can add him to the long list of VEASAN hosts who will lose money betting against the Steelers ask those guys like Gil and Kelly how that's worked out for them. Hey, look, I get it. You know, maybe the past is prologue. We understand that. But Aaron Rodgers clearly is a massive upgrade at quarterback here, Jensen. But what about that theory that maybe this is just what the Steelers do, and if Tomlin's not going to be here for a long term, doesn't want to develop a young guy, that's why he goes the Aaron Rodgers route?
Yeah, it's all about relationships, right? And when you want to go to battle day to day, who do you feel comfortable with? And listen, Mike Tomlin's been doing it a long time. I know for us in Cleveland, we would kill to have that many over 500 seasons in a row and have a chance to compete every year. It's not going to happen with the current ownership group here. But, you know, that's kind of where you are if you're a Steelers fan is, all right, is this the end of the road? Like, do we need the new voice? Do we need the shiny new toy at quarterback? I think that you're going to find out a lot. Like, again, and Aaron Rodgers is a competitor. Like, there's a level of pride where he's not going to deal with the New York scrutiny in Pittsburgh. He will deal with a rabid fan base, as we well know. But I think both those guys are aligned from they can see the end of the line. Yep. They know that this is the last dance for them? It might be, and that might lend them to be like, all right, man, if we're going to do it, this is the way we want to do it, going on the way out.
And they have kind of that mutual admiration society thing going for themselves, too, because you remember when Aaron was in Green Bay way back, he and Rodgers, when they played against each other, they seemed to have a lot of mutual respect. So this was maybe a long time waiting that Tomlin got his guy now. We'll see what it looks like here for Aaron Rodgers this year. That does bring us to our best bets. They're brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VEASAN. Speaking of Pittsburgh in that area, Oakmont is going to get underway on Thursday with round one. And, you know, it is interesting. We were just kind of talking during the break. World number ones have not won here. You go back to since the 90s when Greg Norman was number one, Jason Day, Tiger Woods didn't win here in 2007. They play here once a decade. The only time they didn't play it was during the 40s, during World War II. But once a year, you go back to Oakmont. You've got some leans on the open here. And again, tomorrow we're going to have our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds and that conversation. Check out the Long Shots crew. And maybe we're going to look two other ways. Look, Scotty at plus 275, you want to bet him, have that ticket in pocket, we get it. But Jensen, you're going to go down the board a little bit here.
I think that, you know, just knowing what Rex told us about the premium you're going to have on driving, that's kind of where I started with my handicap here. So Xander at 22-1, as I said, Tyrrell Hatton and Shane Lowry at 45-1. And I wouldn't mind a flyer on Brooks Koepka, because if he is dialed in, if he is right, if there's one guy that can handle this and knows how to win this tournament, it's that guy. So not that it would be a FOMO situation, but I would not want to look up on Friday morning and Friday afternoon and be like, man, I had an opportunity at that number. So I do like that. Also, Koepka at 6-1 to be top 10, like to be in the fight. I can think of worse guys to back. I like that. John Rahm also, I told you about Rombo. I feel that he'll be in some golf pools that I do, but plus $1.10 to be in the top 10. I like that. I'll go back to the well. I probably shouldn't on Colin Morikawa, but I will. Xander also, those two guys are plus 360 for the top five. So a couple of ways. Now that we've had the Rory discussion, I know I wrote it down as a top five at plus 225, but I might have to rethink that just from the conversations we have with Rex and how the course may lay out for me and where he's at. So those are my leans, buddy. How about you?
Yeah, I kind of like it. Look, we mentioned it yesterday, and Rex kind of backed it up a little bit there on the course, that if you wanted to take a stab at Rory to miss the cut at 3-1, I wouldn't get mad at you at that, just where his head's at and really where his driver is. And you got to be able to drive the ball straight, if not long here. Length, you can get after these courses if you find after these holes if you find the fairway. The problem is, can you find the fairway? I love your Brooks Koepka breakdown just of the number. You're never going to get this type of number on him. I have no idea where his form is, where his head's at. That's the problem for me right now with that scenario. Xander at 22-1 feels like a really solid play here. Again, his form, the numbers are not going to dictate that. But remember, that's coming off injury. I'm going to say it again. Cameron Young is a guy who, and Rex Hoggard brought him up, and I did not bring up Cameron Young to him. He brought him up unannounced. I like his chances this week as an extreme long shot. 100-1, 150-1s out there. If you can find that at Cam Young, pizza money play. I just think he might be in the conversation this week. And if so, maybe some ways to play there if he can get to the weekend and beyond. And I'm rethinking Sepp Straka, guy that I was going to fade early. I might not be fading him as straight as he is off the tee here. If he can find the fairways here, Sepp might be a good international player to look at this week. Let's get to your plays here for Major League Baseball that you have on the docket today. And one of those plays I do believe that at least you're leaning towards is maybe an over in that Cubs and Phillies game today. An under comes through yesterday. Maybe more runs today in the city of brotherly shove.
Yeah, Mick Abel and Colin Ray, your scheduled starters here for the Cubs and the Phillies, do feel that if you're going to lean a certain way, that's where I would go. So a little bounce back opportunity for both offenses. Listen, Colin Ray overall for the year has been great. Mick Abel, one of the young arms that's come in to this Philly rotation. But that would be a lean for me. We talked about Cal Raleigh, the big Tampa, and Shohei Ohtani in Torpedo Bat Tuesday as a little lotto ticket. Upwards of 17-1 for a home run parlay between Shohei and Cal Raleigh. That actual Mariners and Diamondbacks game is also a lean over 9 for me. Logan Evans, Brandon Pfaadt. There's been a lot of inconsistency with the Diamondbacks pitching staff, and particularly the back end of their bullpen. The Mariners, an opportunity to close it out late, don't get it done. But I do think we could see more runs again in the desert, and obviously we'd love to with Cal Raleigh going deep. So those the two leans for me thus far on the Major League docket.
By the way, if you had the under in the M's and D-backs last night, I don't know what to say. 4-0, top 9, 2 outs. All of a sudden 4-4, and then you get a slam walk-off, 8-4 is the final. That's a rough beat if you were on the under in that one. By the way, if you were on the under in game 2 for the Thunder and Pacers, I feel like that was a bad beat. That should have stayed under. Yeah. It didn't. Somehow got to 230. You do think the under might be a play here before we get to Wednesday night, tomorrow night?
Yeah, I do. And again, nothing locked in just yet. We'll kind of see where the numbers are jumping on the plane tomorrow. But I do feel that if you're going to get some aggression, it would be in the scoring department. You know, again, more familiarity the deeper you get into a series. And as I asked JVT, and it bears repeating, I feel there's just so many more options defensively for the Thunder to upset timing and upset flow for the Pacer offense. So, yes, they'll get a boost coming home. That crowd will be raucous at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But that's my initial lean right now. We'll wait to see where some numbers are tomorrow morning.
And very quickly, on the ice on Thursday for that very pivotal game 4 now, it certainly feels like it for Edmonton. Can't fall back 3-1. Maybe we get finally some disciplined hockey here. Stay out of the penalty box. Play some defense. Give Stuart Skinner some help up front. That could lean towards an under, correct?
I don't think we get 21 penalties again. But if we do, then this under never stood a chance. So, that would be the way I would go at the moment. Again, no official play just yet, but I do think we get some semblance of sanity. And we do get a Game 7 urgency from the Edmonton Oilers, because they know if they can get this one in the series equalizer, all of a sudden, what a difference a couple of days mentality makes. We're like, okay, boys, we go back home. Mm-hmm. We feel a lot better about where we are. Chance to win it. Just hold serve. But yeah, this I think has a Game 7 feel from the Edmonton side.
We have a $500 trifecta right now from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you have to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature Credit Card. in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet is then going to give you a $100 deposit match. Now, Visa will complete the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st. That, in and of itself, is a $200 value. That is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Reminder, this is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening up a new account. In response to this offer, it will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. So apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. We've got a numbers game coming up. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin back from a two-day siesta. He is back here as well. Jensen, safe travels, my man. You're going to do the show here from Cleveland tomorrow, then get on the Big Bird.
You got it, buddy. Live and in living color Thursday and Friday morning from the Hilton in Omaha. Can't wait to be there.
Get those Jell-O shots fired up. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.